Hour number three of 3D on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day, 10 to 2. We have had a lot of folks already join us. Jeff Kelty, Predators chief amateur scout in the first hour. Chris Cook from the Chicago Tribune talked about all the moves the Blackhawks made. You also just heard from David Poile, Predators GM, also their first-round pick from Finland. 18-year-old young man they've got huge expectations for. They thought it was a steal that he was still there at the 30th pick. Now we head east, and we head to Knoxville. This time every Monday, we bring in our man Vince Ferrara from WNML in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Good, guys. It went well. Hope yours was strong as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What's new and exciting in Knox, Vegas?
Well, just a couple weeks to SEC Football Media Days, as you know, and that's sort of the official or maybe even unofficial kickoff to football season. Camp start not long after that, although there's a little bit of a gap this year because it's starting so early. But that really gets you revved up for football, and then before you know it, fall practices will be here. So really just getting ready for that, and recruiting keeping us occupied here in the off season, as well as some interviews with some of the coaches as well.
You do a lot of work with the baseball team. You call their games and being a part of their broadcast, done stuff on SEC Network. You follow college baseball pretty closely. What do you think tonight, getting cranked up, championship game in Omaha? And guess what? Good news for SEC fans. It's going to be an SEC team that's going to take the crown.
SEC.
Everybody. SEC. Everybody. No. LSU, Florida. Pretty cool. What do you think?
Well, I'll go LSU. Florida has relied on Alex Faedo, who is a first-round pick of the Tigers, an awful lot. But it's a best-of-three series. And I think LSU has more ways to win, where Florida, their pitching is fantastic. Sometimes, though, their offense can get a little quiet and they have to rely too much on their pitching. But, you know, they've been amazing again under Kevin O'Sullivan. And I think that's really, besides the fact that it's all SEC, that's the biggest thing, is Kevin O'Sullivan has been an amazing coach, one of the best in college baseball, first D1 gig, by the way, head coaching gig, like Tim Corbin, like many of the others, Dan McDonald at Louisville. This thought that you have to be an established coach to have had a coaching track record in order to succeed in college baseball, I think is a little bit of a football mentality. So he's a great example. You hire an elite coordinator, if he's got the goods and the resources, you can win, and Florida certainly has both. But O'Sullivan hasn't been able to cap it off with a national championship yet. So that's in front of them. Florida's come close, as we know, before. South Carolina has been matched up in the finals. So it's the run for – that's one part of it. And then mention the SEC as well. This is the fifth all-SEC national title since 2011 in multiple sports, and it happened with South Carolina and Florida back in 2011. But this run that the SEC has been on, the SEC has had at least one team in the College World Series Championship Series 9 of the last 10 years.
That is unbelievable.
And in that period, in 10 years, because they've had two teams there, they've had 11 teams competing for the national championship in the last 10 College World Series seasons. It's pretty amazing, the consistency, and it just shows you how good this league is.
And it's not just the same school every time. There have been multiple participants there, but you're going how many total schools? LSU, Florida, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Who else is in
State?
It? Mississippi,
yeah.
State. Absolutely. So you got a lot of teams that have taken their turn.
Yep, no doubt.
Another big weekend for Butch Jones and his staff. They hit a home run or home runs on Saturday.
Yeah, it started Saturday with a really good running back, probably their top running back target left on the board, and Jalen Dixon, who's one of a couple of Georgia kids that committed over the weekend. And, you know, he had Alabama and Michigan State and Florida and South Carolina, Virginia Tech, a lot of really good schools that were after him. He said that the coaches told him that he reminds them of Alvin Kamara. It's a pretty nice compliment. Hmm. He's a four-star, so that's a good thing. They also picked up
So they're not going to let him play. At times, then, if that's the case.
Nice.
They're going to hold him out of the game.
D-Mace. So he'll get 4 to 5 carries a game.
Absolutely.
Until somebody gets hurt or there's an outburst on the bench.
Yeah, we know where Derek stands on playing Alvin Kamara. So.
Good line. Yeah. That was quick.
Anthony Grant was the second running back that committed over the weekend. Most services have him as a 3-star from Buford, Georgia. He had offers from North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. And then probably the least surprising of the trio over the weekend was a defensive lineman who was a former LSU commit, Jamarcus Chapman. He decommitted from LSU last week. He had been putting out all kinds of tweets from him in the film room and just him and Orange, and you just knew that it was just a matter of time before he jumped on board. He's either a 3 or a 4, depending on your service, and you certainly can't have enough of those defensive linemen. And you know, he picked Tennessee over Clemson, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, and I guess LSU since he had decommitted from there as well. So they were big, and he's another Georgia kid. So big in Georgia, which I think that to me they've been bringing in a lot of guys and going after a lot of guys from the state of Florida. I think Georgia is where Tennessee can make its biggest impact. Some of those guys that they have in their 2018 commit class right now from Florida don't have offers from the big three in the state of Florida, but they have a number of guys on the staff that have connections to Florida, Larry Scott and others. So I think that Kevin Beard's the other one. And so they like kids from Florida. They like the speed and athleticism, but that's a little bit, to me, a little bit of a red flag when the big three aren't offering those players in their own backyard. But Tennessee likes them. They did it in the last class. They're doing it again in this class. And this weekend they really upped their Georgia commitments. And now they're in 3 of the 4 major services. They're 5th in the country in the recruiting team rankings and 2nd in the SEC. Only ESPN has them 8th and 2nd in the SEC. So a really nice run for Tennessee in recruiting.
Vince, last night I got the opportunity to be on one of the local sports Sunday night shows, kind of just talking all things local, hitting all the teams. And, of course, we got to UT, kind of a roundtable discussion. Mm-hmm. We had John Curry on the show last week. Mm-hmm. And everybody's trying to – the question is, you know, where is Butch Jones? You know, what is the expectations going into – what does he have to do? Is he on a hot seat? Is he not on a hot seat? Everybody seems to differ on what he has to do. What does his body of work have to look like this year, especially with the new AD? John Curry's been on the post basically 3 months in Knoxville. We already have seen with the baseball program what that means when it's not your hire. So what does Butch Jones have to do? He beat Florida last year, but obviously had the loss to South Carolina and Vanderbilt at the end of the year, didn't win the division. With a new AD, what does the look have to be this year, in your opinion, for everything to be okay?
Well, it's a fair question. It's debatable, and you said there at the end, in my opinion, so I will couch it with that, because I've had many debates on the air on what Butch Jones needs to do, and it may not differ drastically, but I'll give you an example. We took a call on our afternoon show on Friday, I believe it was, and the guy said, hey, you know, if Butch doesn't win 9 games, you know, I think it should be done. And, you know, basically saying 8, you know, I'm ready to move on, and 7 for sure. And that's kind of been my point, is that I think that's a higher bar, that fan bar, which we have heard before. Not everyone shares it, but it's a common bar of you better win 9 or I'm done with you, like some fans have. I think that is not equal to UT's bar. I think UT's bar is 7 or 6, depending on how those all go down. Is Tennessee in a bunch of close games with a ton of injuries and only losing to the best teams on their schedule? Do they beat a team they aren't supposed to on paper, but then have bad losses that prevent them from getting in into the SEC championship? What do those six or seven how do you get to those points?
You think there's a scenario where he survives a 6-6 or 7-5 season?
Seven and five. Yes, I absolutely do think 6-6. We're getting into here's what takes it from a cigarette lighter to a full out flames on fire is if fans stop going to Neyland Stadium.
Yep, that you're no doubt.
Because then you're taking massive amounts of money away. Then people are speaking with their pocket and not showing up. And then the alarms go off within. If people still go to Neyland Stadium and they're 7-5 or even 6-6 with a bunch of injuries and excuses and still a strong recruiting class for next year, I think there's a possibility you could see Butch Jones back.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is the ultimate indicator. It's butts in the seats, and if they're still showing up and that place is still packed, in a 7-5 season, you're right. But as Derek Dooley found out the hard way, when the place is half full, you're pretty much done.
But with Dooley, there was an eroding process. It wasn't just a from sold out to waiting list to 20,000-30,000 empty seats, and that it would have to erode to that within the same season. And that's why I don't know, especially if the collapse comes late, I don't know that can happen within the same season. So that's the Dooley thing. That was over a multi-year dying out, and so that's why it got to the depths it did. And on the recruiting class, real quick, if Tennessee's 7-5, there's a chance maybe with those results they don't hold together this top five class that they have right now. Maybe that disintegrates late. Now you have less of a chance for Butch Jones to push promise of the future if his recruiting class falls apart. Then it's 7-5, empty seats, recruiting class falls apart. Then we're talking about a different set of circumstances. But if everything else, recruiting class and attendance and 7-5, I don't think that's an absolute, like some people do, that Butch Jones would get fired.
All right, more with Vince Ferrara in Knoxville when we come back next on 3D.
Back at you. How fitting. Return of the Mac. How fitting. Return of Vince Ferrara as well. Sports Radio WNML Knoxville. That can be a theme song, Vince.
Return of D-Mac. That's Darren McFarlane. I'm not touching that.
Talk with Vince Ferrara. Sports Radio NML Knoxville, all things UT. Everyone knows what happened with Eric Berry and what he went through 2 years ago. Basically, it's been almost 2 years now, and him not being able to participate in a game that he loved to play, and that's football, and him fighting for his life, most importantly. And then he was able to overcome that. And no one knew if he would come back and be quite the same player, but he came back and he was just as good when he came back than when he left. And the NFL comes out with their top 100 every year, and he made number 13 after what he went through, after missing a full year of not playing football, and to come back and be as good or even better than you were when you left. What is the talk up in Knoxville? I'm pretty sure you guys have gotten a ton of calls on Eric Berry.
Well, it's not surprising, and just his character, his work ethic, his drive, his perspective. He's really amazing, and I think a lot of people are in awe of what he's been able to do, and he's worthy of it. He's an elite safety, an elite player overall in the league, so I think it's appropriate. I think outside of Peyton Manning, he's the most revered, either current or recent, Tennessee player in the NFL. And rightfully so. You know, Jason Witten is very popular as well, and there's plenty of them that are popular because they're VFLs. But I don't think anyone else is in the discussion, in my opinion, for the second most popular, other than Eric Berry.
Now you talked about this team and expectations, or as far as what the record would be, what it would. Would it hurt Butch Jones, help him, whatever case may be? But they just hired their OC not too long ago, Larry Scott. And I know we've talked about this, the whole quarterback battle, losing your running backs, and having to retool. But what would be how optimistic is this offense or coming into the season? Because, yes, they do have – some new players at some key positions, but this is an offensive line also that was young last year, and they're all basically together again, and they're getting older.
Yeah, it's interesting. The offense, there's been a lot of talk about more physicality with the offensive line and more balance. Larry Scott mentioned that in an interview with Jimmy Himes, one of our afternoon hosts, in a one-on-one he did with them, and he talked about them doing more under center and being more balanced. And I think that's music to the ears of Tennessee fans, that to have multiple ways to line up and be able to beat teams, and that physical approach of firing off the football when we've seen offensive lines far too much be passive under Butch Jones, their zone blocking schemes. And I know it's part of the scheme is you're blocking areas and just kind of walling guys off at times, as opposed to, you know, the man blocking where you're firing off. But so Tennessee is talking about doing more of those things. They've dabbled in it a little bit here and there, but they haven't really, I don't think, been committed to it, especially at the goal line. So I think those are all two very positive steps. If this offensive line is more physical, and part of it is going to be the strength and conditioning if they're strong enough to do it, and they have that mindset and they practice it, I think those can be very positive. And, you know, you mentioned all the experience that Tennessee has on the offensive line. I think they've got 8 guys that I think are legitimately in the starting conversation, possibly 9, but I think 8 strong. And there's a lot of different options that can go on that O-line, including a 5-star in Trey Smith, who I am absolutely convinced, and I have been for a while, and I've told you guys this, that he was going to start. It's either going to be right guard or right tackle, but he's starting somewhere on that offensive line, and it's not because the other guys suck. It's because he's that good, and so they're all having to fight for their spots too. So 110 games of starting experience for that offensive line, that's a huge number. And so I think that's the key to helping the young quarterbacks, the receivers, tight ends, and then obviously a thinner, younger group of running backs as well.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, talking University of Tennessee. Vince, going back a few months, there was a lot of, at least discussion, of Philip Fulmer perhaps as an athletic director and what that would look like. They hire a different athletic director. Now they bring in Philip Fulmer officially as basically an ambassador. So what do you think, when it all shakes out, his role will truly be? Because depending on what it is, I think that it proposes a lot of interesting scenarios. That's a resource that they certainly want to use. But I'm curious, for example, what Butch Jones's relationship going forward with Philip Fulmer is going to be. What is the athletic director's relationship with Philip Fulmer going to be? And can that all fit together? If it does, it's a great thing for Tennessee. But I can also see it creating a lot of, well, what does Philip Fulmer think? You know, there's going to be a lot of that if things don't go smoothly.
Sure, and we've already taken the, well, what if Butch Jones and Tennessee have a bad start to the year and Butch gets fired? Any chance that Philip Fulmer comes and coaches? We've already taken those phone calls. The first day.
The first day. He's gonna pull a Barry Alvarez on.
And ask me if I'm surprised that
right.
happened. if it's a crazy possibility, they're talking about it. You know, Peyton Manning, offensive coordinator, John Gruden, all that. Yeah, so those crazy scenarios are always on the mind. But that's going to be a fan. Those are going to be fan topics of discussion. The key for Tennessee is that it doesn't get in anybody's way. I think Philip Fulmer can be a good resource. He's already talked about pulling people in the same direction. He's obviously going to do great in terms of in the community and raising money. I think when people see him and meet him out in the community, fans or potential sponsors, all that kind of stuff, they're going to think about the positives, the great times and all that more so than anything else, the way it ended or any of that. So I think it can overall be very positive. I think it's a good PR move. I think even though John Curry wasn't his call, I think the fact that he and Philip Fulmer have talked and met and it at least seem to be trying to grow their relationship or repair it, however you want to say it, I think that's a real positive as well. This is something that UT has wanted to do for a while, and so they finally got it done, and Butch Jones gets along great with Philip Fulmer from what we hear. And, you know, it wasn't Butch Jones's call, but I'm sure he was in the loop as far as that happening, and I'm sure he was fine with it. It's just if everything goes bad, that's when you're going to hear, you know, the potential of, you know, what does Phil Fulmer think, as you mentioned, or, you know, hey, he's looking over his shoulder to take over and all this kind of stuff. But if Tennessee takes care of its own business, none of that stuff is going to surface. It's just maybe a potential added thing that people will throw in if it goes bad. But if it goes bad, it's going to go bad for their own reasons, not because Philip Fulmer is now an assistant to the UT president.
By the way, how crazy is it about David Blackburn at Chattanooga?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that whole process, Darren, it hurt him, and being so open about it, I think that maybe strained some relationships down there.
I would agree. Now you see why coaches hate when that stuff gets out there, because it's hard to go back.
Right.
Once that stuff goes one direction. Vince, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this. Have a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Real quick, if anyone wants more, I did a position-by-position breakdown. Just ended yesterday, 9 days every day. You can go to Sports Radio WNML. Just look for the blogs, my name, and you can go back and check out my thoughts on all the positions for Tennessee football. Appreciate it, guys.
Good stuff. Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter, part of Sports Radio WNML. He's been there for years, does a tremendous job. As you know, I'm going to pose the same question that I threw at Vince to Derek and Willie when we come back about Butch Jones. We'll tackle that subject when we come back. First, Willie, you have a word about Lee Company.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company. 567-1000 is the number. And if you're in that summer mode right now and you're starting to plan for the upcoming school year, if you've got kids and you're trying to get in the groove, think about becoming a member of the yearly checkup club, the home maintenance plan that Lee Company offers you, because it's a great way to work it into your budget and think about a long-range saving program. Here's what you get when you're part of the home maintenance plan for Lee Company. You get yearly checkups on your air conditioning, your heating, your plumbing, your electric. You pay a very small monthly fee, $8-9 a month. In exchange for that, you get these free checkups, and if repairs ever need to get done over the long term, you'll get discounts on those repairs. That's the great solution for Lee Company. You're going to save money in the long term. So call that number, 567-1000, and ask to become a member of the home maintenance plan. Or go online at leecompany.com, and you can check it out there and make an appointment to have them come out and check those systems for you. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Good stuff from Vinny Ferrara. All right. Said I would ask you guys the same question that was posed our direction on Channel 4 last night. Joe Dubin asked it. And, you know, it is one of the burning questions, right? And I brought up how he had a great weekend, as you heard Vince lay out yet again. They've been tearing it up on the recruiting trail. I mean, there is no denying what Butch Jones and his staff does in the offseason. They win, and they win big in the offseason. They have done it since he's arrived on the campus at Knoxville. They have been doing an unbelievable job on the recruiting trail. But it hasn't – it's resulted in W's, but not the level that UT's accustomed to and where they want to be. So I ask you the question, going into year four, there's been progress each step of the way, even though last year was supposed to be the explosion year. Last year was supposed to be knock down the door, and here, we've been building to this, and now it's time. Like the Predators, quite honestly, we use that as an example. There was a lot of expectations for the Predators coming into this season. Remember, EA Sports did their simulation, exactly. And they had the Predators and the Canadiens in the Stanley Cup Final. So there were expectations. There were people saying, watch out. It ended up playing out. It didn't look that way in the regular season, but when it was time for it to count, they made the best of it, and they went all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. That didn't play out for UT.
It
didn't play out for the Canadiens. They lost in round one.
And you hear the outcry up in Montreal is similar to what it was in Knoxville for the Tennessee fans.
But they knocked down the Florida door, right? They finally beat the Gators. And you're thinking, okay, this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play, you know, they have the heartbreak loss at College Station against Texas A&M, which was like ranked fifth or sixth in the country at the time. And then things, you know, then you have the bad loss in Columbia to South Carolina. Then you lose to Vandy here, and it ends up being an 8-4 season. And so it didn't turn out, and you did win the division. Florida, with no quarterback, won the division again. So, with that being said, new AD in place, what are the expectations? What is acceptable? What's not acceptable in your opinion?
Well, I think it has to be, and I'm going to explain why it has to be over 8 wins. It just, to me, it has to be. Butch Jones has done an excellent job at recruiting. No one can say he hasn't. I think he's done just as good or even better than, you know, some of the top coaches out there. But he's done, arguably, when you talk about a Power 5 team, he's done a worse job at getting them. He's done a bad job at getting that talent to play on Saturdays and for it to materialize into wins. So, yes, he's done a great job of recruiting, bad job at getting those guys to play.
And hasn't done a great job of keeping them.
Exactly, and hasn't
done
a great job.
That's another thing that we don't talk about enough.
And I know, you know, it's probably that way across the country, right. But we're here in Nashville, so we only see Butch and what he's doing. So, to me, even though they lost Kamara, even though they lost Sutton, even though they lost Barnett and the quarterback, it doesn't matter. For the simple fact, you went and got all these recruits, they're here on campus, okay? They're on your football team. They got some experience. You cannot end the season worse than 8-5. You just cannot. Here's the main reason you can't. Because there's a guy by the name of Chip Kelly. Just lingering. He's just lingering, you know. Somebody else, two other teams are paying him right now, I believe. One or two. He has two. Philly and San Fran. They're just paying him, so he's just chilling.
Just like the mailbag, he loves to go to his mailbox.
He loves waking up every
all the time.
Every week or twice a month. And just getting a stub because it's direct deposit. So he just want to get the stub and see it. So it's a guy by the name of Chip Kelly that is just sitting out there. And everyone knows that he has had a lot of success at the collegiate level. And if he has any interest on coming to UT as an athletic director, you have to investigate it. You have to go to him and see, gauge the temperature of him coming to Knoxville. That's if Butch Jones doesn't win over 8 games. His offensive line, we just talked about his offensive line, which to me is the key with every team, NFL or college. If your offensive line is stable, then your team should be a good team. Tennessee offensive line right now is stable because they played a lot of games together. That cohesiveness is built, okay? Then they went and got the best left tackle in the country to come to their university. So they have some talent on the offensive side of the ball, and they have some talent on the defensive side of the ball. I know they're playing in the SEC, but still, it's the SEC East, and this is a team, a program that should each and every year be contending, not just to win the East, but to win a SEC championship, and they have not done it. So if he can't win at least 8 games this year with Chip Kelly just sitting on a lawn chair, relaxing, waiting to go to the mailbox, you got to seriously look into replacing him.
Well, you said 8-5, so that means 7-5, and then a cheap bowl win.
Not
that was a garbage bowl.
What if you're 8-4?
Eight and four.
Okay, because I'm going to give you the Athlon prediction.
You just got to end the season 8-5, regardless.
Okay, the Athlon prediction is 8-4 in the regular season, 4-4 in the SEC, 3rd in the East. If he does that, is he back?
According to what you just said, yes.
Yeah.
What you just said, yes.
Yeah. If he finishes the regular season 8-4, then yeah, he come back.
But then he loses the bowl game.
He loses the bowl game, but bowl game. See, I don't look at unless it's for the national championship. Unless you're in the playoffs, the rest of those bowl games, no. Because
usually the decision's been made by the time you play that bowl game.
Absolutely.
75% of the time, right? A bowl game doesn't. Your future doesn't ride on whether you win the bowl game.
Well, in his case, it's helped a lot because it's helped the forward progress and the momentum.
Stop the bleeding a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that's when he was coming up from the bottom. You know?
They had some pretty convincing bowl wins where they dominated and everybody felt good. It's the last thing you see. It's the last thing you remember. So I would say to this point, the bowl games, whether we think they're meaningful or meaningless, they've helped Butch Jones.
But when you have an expectation, you've built up an expectation now, and each year you've gotten better. To me, now the bowl game to me doesn't mean anything unless you're in the playoffs.
Okay, I'm going to look at it more macro because it's easy when you are part of a fan base that has experienced success. As Tennessee has, and their fan base has, and you've got a guy, Philip Fulmer, who is now back in the fold officially, where you say, well, look at what Coach Fulmer did. You know, a lot of contention for national championships. Had they a couple other games gone their way against Florida, we could have been talking multiple national championships, but he took them to the top of the mountain. So expectations are so high. I have always looked at it like this. In the SEC, when you play football and you think you're going to win the division every year or you're going to win an SEC championship every year or you should contend for an SEC championship every year, and you look around and basically there are 12 other schools that are trying to say the same thing and their expectations are the same, the math doesn't work. There are always going to be several programs that fall short of expectations. And I still think that Butch Jones can withstand another disappointing year in the eyes of those fans who have the bar set so high if, at the end of the year, it looks good in terms of the direction it's heading. I mean, you lose your quarterback, you lose a guy like Derek Barnett. Realistically, I don't care how great your recruiting classes are ranked and things like that. It's just not easy to step in there and say, well, next year we'll win the whole thing. I do think there's a scenario where they could go 7-5 or 6-6, but by the end of the year, have the table set to where in the next couple years, is it looks good with these recruiting things? The recruiting rankings are a blessing and a curse. It can work to his advantage. It definitely can work to his disadvantage.
I'll ask you guys on the other side, how long are they going to keep going without an East Division title? I mean, it's just like the Titans. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to win the division. At some point, you're going to have to beat divisional teams like the Colts, especially the Colts. And like I said, Tennessee finally knocked down that Florida door. But at some point, I mean, it's been a long time since they won the division. Is it time for them to get back? So we'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to 3D, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. You know, the Titans haven't played a playoff game since the 2008 season. Yep. It's been a while, coming up on a decade. Close to it. Last time Tennessee won a division crown was playing in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome, which is no more. Mm-mm. Was 2007 was the last time. So since 2000, which was 17 years ago, the last 17 years they've made three trips to the SEC championship game, which means they have three division titles. Of course, they lost.
That's unacceptable.
I understand
them.
That.
That is unacceptable.
I get it, but it's hard. You have Florida. You have all these teams that are saying the same thing when they haven't won it for
Florida
5 or 6
years. Florida has.
Okay, but Florida fans are probably ticked off that they haven't won an SEC
Florida's
title
won
since
the
Tebow.
Division 12 times.
Yes, in the last Tennessee's couple of years, they shouldn't
times.
Have won it.
That's right. But they're not satisfied. I mean, am I right?
No, you're right, but at least
are
they –
Are Florida fans satisfied?
At least they
gone?
Can
no.
say we were in the SEC championship game.
Alabama went through a long stretch before Saban where they weren't very satisfied with things. Sometimes it takes a while. I'm just giving you a historical perspective
here. I would say Tennessee fans with that program and as big of a deal that program is, they don't want to hear about Missouri making two trips.
Exactly.
And
I hear you.
South Carolina making a trip. So South Carolina and Missouri, that's three seasons. That's three division titles.
We talk about a team that
Tennessee didn't have because
they just entered the SEC.
They don't want to hear about the Gamecocks and the Tigers representing the division. If you're Tennessee football, right?
True.
When did Missouri enter the SEC? What year was that?
Missouri and Texas A&M.
Has it been
entered
that long?
The league, yeah. What, about 5 years ago?
Five, six years ago? 5, 6, yeah.
And Missouri has won. They've been
twice
already? Yes. That's bad. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
They had some good teams.
It's unacceptable.
Well, you're supposed to have better teams.
Exactly.
If you're Tennessee.
I get it. But every team in the league is saying that. You don't think Georgia was saying that? You don't think Florida was saying that? There's a lot of teams that have that same expectation level. Georgia went through a long drought.
What do you think the level of that program is? I mean, what do you think it should be? Do you think it's just once every 10 years they're really good?
I think there is a lack of a reality check sometimes on how tough the league is. And it's not easy to win the division year after year. The days of domination for a decade, I don't know if they're over. But you got to go on a run. Alabama's on an amazing run right now where everybody is interested. They've got a great coach. They've got it all working. They're in a golden era. It's hard to hit that. Tennessee had theirs right up alongside an era where Florida was in the same kind of groove. And unfortunately for Tennessee, that meant that they had a lot of second-place finishes and a lot of almost national championships. And they did get one, which a lot of schools never get. That doesn't come around all the time. And I think people who are a little more rational now can appreciate a lot more what Philip Fulmer did. Philip Fulmer used to take a lot of heat for not being able to beat Florida and all that stuff. But now you take a look at that era from, you know, pick a year that you want to start it. You know, the Heath Shuler days, the beginning, you know, the early to mid-90s all the way through. Really, 2001, 2002 is when they were really, really good last. That's an 8 to 10 year run that very few schools can claim. But unfortunately, that's the bar now, right? And their fans are looking for the next run like that. It's just harder than people realize, I think.
But in a so-called, you know, time when at least this last, let's say the last 7 years, where the SEC East was supposedly down, or supposedly the weaker conference in regards to the SEC.
That's what stings, I think, more than
UT
anything.
Could not win it with all.
Right.
We just talked about it last week.
Missed
with
opportunity
Ben.
Last year.
All
no
that
question.
Talent they had, they got drafted. These guys were there for 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And supposedly the East was down, and you couldn't win it then?
That is true. It was a missed opportunity last year. They had enough.
The year before
But they did have a lot of injuries. They did have a lot of unfortunate injuries.
Florida
that
had a lot of injuries.
Yes, they did. And that's the comeback. I get it. But that's just what people would say. Well, James Franklin had three bowl teams with Vanderbilt, but it was a down time in the SEC East. Look at the last 25 years of Vanderbilt football. The league was down some of those years, man. I mean, they beat Florida, they beat Georgia, they beat Tennessee. Don't shortchange it. It's a tough league,
right? But
it's
in
a
the,
very tough league.
In the
you got
the pecking order of Division I college football. That job, Tennessee,
it's a top job.
Is a top right. job in the country, right? It is in that group that we could all come up with: the Ohio States, the Michigans. All the big
Alabama's,
boys, Alabama's,
SC.
All the big boys. They're right there in the middle of it, right? Tennessee is right. one of those jobs. So if you're one of those jobs, you can't tell me how, well, Missouri had a good roster. Oh, man.
They did have a good roster.
But, yeah, but if you're one of the top jobs in the country, the fan base doesn't want to hear that. When you put 100,000 people
but the fan
to
base
your games,
is
they don't want to hear about Missouri's good roster.
But the fan base can be irrational. And consider this: if Butch Jones goes 7-5, or we're right on the borderline, whatever we feel like the borderline is, do you keep him? Do you not keep him? Remember the price of what it would take to buy him out. The going rate is $12 million. I don't know what's in his particular contract, but because he got off to a good start and he revived them from where they were, which was going nowhere, he's at least given them the expectations. He's earned contract extensions. He's gotten raises. So that means if you want to make a change, it's going to cost you.
So it's you can look at it from this standpoint. Okay, yes, we're going to applaud Butch from taking this program from the basement and working its way back up. We're not at the top on the landing, on the top floor yet. We're halfway up. We're halfway up there. We see it. We see the light up there. It's there. The door is there. We can open it.
You see the penthouse?
Yeah, we see it, but we're not quite there. Maybe he's not the guy that can take you there. Now you need somebody else. He's done his job. He's done his job. He's got you to a point where now it's respectable. It's respectable.
Mil.
And people are saying, UT, yes, we're back.
It's going to cost
guys want to come to University of Tennessee to play. Now maybe somebody else got to come in and tap him on the wrist. Hey, time to go. You didn't pitch your innings. We need somebody else in here to come in here and close out.
You think this is tag team wrestling?
Yeah, close out. We need somebody to close it out.
Are you bringing in the Ultimate Predator? What are you doing? All right, we'll come back fourth and final hour of 3D. We'll have the mailbag. We'll do that next on 102.5 The Game.